Today I'm going to talk about the church. What it is, what is the church? And what does the church do? And what does it mean to you? Basically three things. And most of this is taken out of our Fundamental Beliefs booklet. If you want to hit more details, you can go there. I'm focusing mostly on the positive things that we can do. I'm going to change this speaker a little because I'm hearing some feedback. So, there, we should do good there. I'm focusing on the positive things that we can do. What does the church do? You know, what is it really from top to bottom? What are we really doing? What is it that we should be focused on? What does God say about it? What does the Bible say about it? So I'm going to read you some statements here, and I'll give you some scriptural references, but you don't have to look it up if you don't want. You can just write them down. But I want you to really to see it from a verbal perspective, what it is that God really is telling us. And again, this comes right out of the Fundamental Beliefs, mostly. And I'll start with, what is the church? I have two statements here that tell you what the church is. First, the church is a body of believers called by God, not self, not on our own decision here, on our own volition, who have received and are being led by the Holy Spirit. That's the first statement. The second statement is, you want to read the first one again. It looks like some of you are writing it down, which you should. The church is a body of believers called by God, not self, who have received and are being led by the Holy Spirit. The second statement is, the church is the body of Christ, our living head, with his Holy Spirit in each of us, making our bodies a holy temple of God, through which his Holy Spirit leads us as a church to do good works. I'll read it again. The church is the body of Christ, our living head, with his Holy Spirit in each of us, making our bodies a holy temple of God, through which his Holy Spirit leads us as a church to do good works. Do want to again commend the split sermon that came before. That very it's going to fit very well with what we're going to talk about. There's a lot of meat here between what Kent said previously and what we'll talk about next. So I just want you all to really get a flavor for what is it that we really are together as a group. You know, we meet every Sabbath. What is it that we are? So I'll read you some of these scriptures and I will give you the references. So, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if we're led by the Spirit, we are actually children of God. We're sons of God. And who's in charge? And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So who's filling the church? Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Who's leading the church? Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father. That's Romans 8:14 and Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. So those are the two scriptures, and primarily, we really just have to understand that we are all being led by God. He's leading us. He's inside of us, and the Holy Spirit bringing us forward. And I'll read you some more. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, as we said, and in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple. Now we will get further in as we get into this discussion. We're going to talk about edification and we're going to talk about what that means. And the Greek word for it really means architectural construction. So we'll get into that when we get further into this. But we're building a building here. This our whole congregation is a building that God is building. And it's a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And we're being, and that's Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. And in the process of doing that, he's nourishing us. Christ nourishes us, for no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes us, it, just as the Lord does the church. That's Ephesians 5, 29. He's nourishing us. He's the lead. He's the chief. He's filled the church with the Holy Spirit. He's got us together. And here's an interesting part that I discovered as I was looking through all these scriptures, is I call it the seven ones. There are two scriptures that go into extreme detail into how God visions the church, and it's all about one or oneness. So I'll read you the first one. This is the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. We are seven ones. We're endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, and one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Seven, count them, seven ones. I think he's making a point. It's not six ones, it's seven. And the point is that we are shared one because Jesus Christ and God the Father live within our church, and we share the belief and the Holy Spirit and all the unity that we have. We're sharing the baptism, we're sharing the faith. We're one body, we have one hope. And now for the second scripture, that scripture is Ephesians 4, 3 through 8. The second scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit bringing unity and diversity in seven ones. This is another one that has seven ones in it. And it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the fact the body is not one member, but many. Again, there's seven ones in this scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. The concept is that we share a oneness, a peace between all of us in Jesus Christ. And believing and having the faith and the Spirit working through all of us together. It holds us, it bonds us, it gives us a purpose. Again, referring to the nice split sermon we had before this. We are also, and these are basically statements that you can get out of the Bible about the church. We are ambassadors, this is who we are, for Christ, a coming kingdom that is to rule this planet. That means we're Jesus Christ's highest ranking representative on earth right now. We're representing the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors to him. We have a duty as ambassadors. And here's what it says here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. We have to be reconciled. We have to do what he wants. We have to start doing his will and not so much of our will. We have to pull out of the world and overcome the world and do what Jesus Christ is leading us to do. Because we're ambassadors to him, we have to represent him. We're high-ranking officials on earth. He's called us and put us in that position. We are also a living pillar in a ground of the truth. We are grounded in the truth, and we are a living pillar. By the way, the ambassador scripture was 2 Corinthians 5:20. So I'm going on to the living pillar in the ground of the truth. But I am delayed. I write so that you may know that how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. We're a house of God. which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:15. And we have a responsibility to really stand on the truth and be strong with the truth, each of us, so that we can be a pillar and a good ambassador to him on the earth. God calls us, and in addition to calling us, and during the process of calling us, we are also taught by God. He's teaching us. So not only through sermons, but through our life experiences, through our prayers, through our Bible studies, through everything that we do in our lives, every moment, there's something that we can learn. God is teaching us at every moment. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So we're being taught by God, and we come to Jesus Christ. And we learn to worship him, and we share the same belief, and share the same faith. And we help each other to grow, and to use the scriptures to live our lives, to live the way that he would have us live, to constantly reconciling ourselves to him. The Spirit of God is dwelling in us, and we are baptized. We are a spiritual organization because of that. Jesus Christ has called us, God the Father has called us out. Jesus Christ, we're baptized in the name of the Son, and we also have the Holy Spirit. We are a spiritual organization. We are not a human organization. But you are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's Romans 8, 9. And the one that talks about us being called and taught by the Father is John 8, 6, 44 through 45. We have a huge responsibility because we're ambassadors to Jesus Christ on this planet. And he's called us to his church and given us a huge responsibility, and we'll be covering what the church does in the next section. And we're almost there. Then Peter said to him, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. To be part of this spiritual organization, we have to put aside our sins, let Jesus Christ wash them out of us. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promises to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord of our God is calling. So the last two scriptures I read you, Romans 8, 9, Acts 2, 38 through 39. We are a spiritual organization. We have the obligation to act like that. And we're also a spiritual house. The Bible calls us a spiritual house. We are, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 2:5. He's building us. He's teaching us. He's growing us. We're sharing in the same faith. We're sharing the same baptism. We're sharing with the same Holy Spirit. We have a oneness of purpose, a oneness of understanding. We stand on the truth, we grow. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, not only individually, but as an organization. We're a spiritual organization. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. It's 1 Corinthians 6:19. We belong. We're ambassadors to God on this planet. We're called out as his representatives. And He's giving us the instruction, the blessings, the Holy Spirit, everything to pull our church together. So with all the things I've just said, basically this is what the church is. This is what the Bible says the church is. There's more to it. We're going to get into some more here. We're going to talk about what does the church do. It's going to add some more depth to what we just discussed. But we can see the church is a body of believers led by Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual organization. So now we're going to talk about what does the church do. What does the church do? I have four things that summarizes what the church does, and then we'll get into some of the detail. First, the church preaches the gospel of the coming kingdom of God to all nations as a witness. You've heard this before, and you've heard some of our work that we're putting together to try to make it a little easier for people to see the coming kingdom of God, especially in our local community. Second, I'll read the first one again. The church preaches the gospel of the coming kingdom of God to all nations as a witness. Second, the church helps reconcile the people being called to Jesus Christ. So we kind of covered that a little bit in the beginning. We need to be reconciled to God. That means we have to be more like Him, more like Jesus Christ every day. The church helps us to reconcile the people being called to Jesus Christ. When we come to church, we are together as an organization. Even when we're not here, we're working together as an organization. We're a spiritual organization reconciling to Jesus Christ. Third, this one's really important. The church strengthens, edifies, and nurtures the children of God in love and admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the third one is the church strengthens, edifies, and nurtures the children of God in love and admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the first three of what the church does. The fourth thing that the church does, which is also very, very important, this one's very simple. The church is preparing to be the bride of Christ. The church is preparing to be the bride of Christ. So we're going to read through some of the things that the Bible says the church should be doing. I have to say we do a lot of this. Our smaller organization we are, we do a lot of these things. So I think you'll recognize some of these as we go through. First, I want to say that as the body of Christ, we have empathy. And I'll read you some stuff on empathy. Remember, this was the requirement to have agape love. I think you're going to find that the operating system of this spiritual organization called the church is agape love. Bottom line, that is the operating system of the church of God, agape love. And we've been studying it. I think we got through 1, 2, and 3 in March, when we do meet in March for the Super Sabbath. We do the Bible discussion. We'll do 4 and 5. We have 8 to do, but they've been very interesting. We've learned a lot. And what's the one word that we know works against agape love? One word. All right. All right. Yeah, you've all been listening. Yes, pride is, we have to be very, very careful. Pride is, it undoes everything. We went through a huge list, the laundry list. Mr. Gary Petty went through some very, very insightful understanding there, and I think we've learned it. So we have to have empathy. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. I'm using this to say empathy is very, very important. 1 Corinthians 12:26-27. We suffer with those who suffer. We honor with those who honor. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And now I'm going to talk about edification a little bit. And I'm basically saying, if the operating system of the United Church of God, of the Church of God, according to the scriptures, is agape love, then edification rules in the church. The Greek word for edification refers to architecture, for building up, for strengthening, instruction or improvement of a person intellectually or morally. We are to build the understanding and application of the truth. Be reconciled to God. That's what our organization does. This is what we do as a church. How is it then, but brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. We may come together with a lot of ideas and a lot of different thoughts. But in the end, let all things be done for edification. We have to grow each other, everybody in the organization. It's not our personal agenda. It's all of us working together. We edify each other, and we do it with agape love. And that's 1 Corinthians 14:26. Let all things be done for edification. We are steadfast in doctrine and in fellowship. We hold true to doctrine and fellowship. And this is Paul talking about it, I believe it's Paul. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. I think we have plenty of prayer things going on. We'll have some breaking bread this afternoon, I think, after our services. That's Acts 2:42. And also we realize that if God called us and God has been instructing us, many of us have different spiritual gifts. And we serve God and the congregation with our spiritual gifts. So again, I'm going to read to you Paul here speaking to the Romans. For I say through grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Remember, we were talking about pride. But to think of so soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, here we go with that word one again, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use our ministering, he who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, who gives liberally, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We are to humble ourselves and let God work through us and help each other in the congregation to help edify everybody and work together in agape love. We also pursue things for peace and edification. And edification also means instruct or encourage one another. And I think I'll have a word about exhort. Exhort also means the same thing, but to instruct and encourage one another. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. It's Romans 14:19. The one about the spiritual gifts, serving with spiritual gifts, is Romans 12, 3-8. It's important that we see through the oneness and the Holy Spirit that God gives us that we can find ways to work together and to edify each other and to grow in peace and get our gifts to work together properly. Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I'm skipping a few scriptures here, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is the vision statement for the United Church of God, and that's Ephesians 4. I read you some of it beforehand, 11 through 16. And again, we stand on the word in the epistles. We stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or by epistle, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. We also preach the gospel. And he said to him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I find that word interesting, creature. Does that mean we preach to the our pets too? I don't know. But I didn't research that, but it's interesting. He who believes and is baptized, you have to repent and be baptized, will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. That's Mark 16, 15 through 16. We preach the gospel as one of the things we do. We stand on the word in the epistles. I think I gave you that, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. We are also the light of the world, ambassadors to Jesus Christ, his representatives here on earth. As a church, we are the light of the world and individually too as well. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men and women that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If we're living God's way and we're using agape love and we're edifying ourselves and growing in faith, trusting God, letting him work in us and work in our church in oneness and peace, our light will shine. Just to let you know, the people who rent us the halls, all the ones that have ever rented us the halls, we've been through three different halls here now in Connecticut, have all high respect for us. Our light has shined. And to let you know, I think we're going to have a lot of opportunity to let our light shine more as we go forward. We also seek first the kingdom of God. By the way, the light shine is Matthew 5, 14 through 16. We also seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6, 33. That means, as we heard in the earlier message, that when you look at your day and what you're trying to see, the material things, we're only here on this earth temporarily. I love the example that he used about being in a hotel room. And it's only a temporary residence, but you can't call up the hotel and say, I don't like the carpet, change the carpet. And by the way, while you're doing that, paint the walls a different color and put a kitchen in for me. We're here on earth, we can't expect that we can do a whole lot of things on the planet to make ourselves comfortable, but we can do what God is asking us to do. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go back to the operating system of the Church of God, and it's the word agape. The operating system is love, agape love. A new commandment I give you, this is Jesus Christ, the leader of the church, our leader, our living leader. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, all we will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The word love here, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4 loves here in this passage, is the Greek word agape. It's not philo. It's not the other interpretations, the other two. It's agape love that Jesus Christ was talking about. And remember when we heard Mr. Petty talk about Peter, when Jesus Christ asked him, do you love me? And Peter was saying, well, I Philo love you, but agape love, that's a different, whole different ballgame. That's what Jesus Christ is talking about. Us as a church, agape love. And then that's John 13, 34 through 35. To do this, we need agape love in our church, in our relationships. We need a lot of support, a lot of edification, so that we can do the next thing that we have to do here. We have to be transformed. We have to be renewing our minds. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's Romans 12, 2. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. You're starting to get the flavor of what the Bible, what Jesus Christ and God the Father are asking our organization, our spiritual organization to be, what he's expecting of us. We shine as lights in the world, Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's going to be very, very hard to do. We can see it. It's so much of it in the world that we're in today. There's so much that's broken. There's so much that hurts. There's so many things that can spoil. And we have to be careful to avoid it. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There's that word one again. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We need Jesus Christ and his sacrifice to keep us on the path, walking in his light. 1 John 1:7. We have to walk in his light. We have to be like Jesus Christ every day, the best we can. And then here I explained earlier that the word exhort means to encourage. It doesn't mean to get somebody in the corner and then challenge every thought they have and exhort them. It means to encourage them and to grow them and grow them. The Greek word is to call and to comfort. The Greek word for exhort is to call and comfort. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today is the day. Now is the time that we can exhort, and that is to call and to comfort people, to encourage them, to help them to grow, especially if they need it. That's Hebrews 3:13. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love. And I believe this word again is agape, and good works. Hebrews 10:24. And when we do this, when we stir up love and we stir up good works, we then can start meeting the needs of the church with empathy. This is all sounds like fits right into that puzzle, how agape works. The operating system of the Church of God. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call up for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Meeting the needs of the church, and we have that. We started that whole process with good works that we would like to do in the church. We have a whole internal process that we're looking at how we can help each other and find needs and then satisfy them or fulfill them. James 5:13-16. That's James 5:13-16. I think when you think about all the things, this is the end of what we do. Now we're going to start talking about what does it mean to you. So we talked about what the church is, and we talked about what the church does. Now we talk about what does it mean to us. And I think just by what we went through already, especially the do part, we're realizing it could be very helpful and very constructive in our lives to help us to deal with the world issues that we have to deal with, to deal with the issues we run into, and the little crises that come up in our lives. We can help each other. We can be there for each other. I think that's one of the big things it means to you, to do all these things. Another, though, goes along the discussion that we had earlier about vision. The vision is, we will be with Christ in his kingdom. Today, we may be worth nothing in the eyes of the world. In the kingdom, it's in Jesus Christ's eyes that things are important. And to him who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Revelation 2:26. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as also I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 3:21. And have made us kings and priests to God, to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 5:10. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And we'll be right in the thick of all that. That's Daniel 7:27. And we have an opportunity today to be together as one, to practice agape, to practice edification. And we know all things work together to good for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew and also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called; whom he called, these he also justified; whom he justified, these he also glorified. Romans 8:28 through 30. Through Jesus Christ, he's setting us up through agape love and admonition and also edification, exhortation. We're being developed into the bride of Christ. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We can be hanging out with Jesus Christ in the kingdom. John 14:3. We can be where he is. The entire world will be clamoring to be where he is at that time. They'll all be wanting to. We will be, though. John 14:3. It's a lot to think about our lives, about what we do, how we view ourselves together as an organization, a spiritual organization. Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the whole thing about oneness again, 1 John 3:24. We have a oneness. We have each other. We have Jesus Christ, our leader. We are a spiritual organization of oneness with an operating system of agape love in our church, which we've been studying. We serve each other in humility and edify and strengthen our fellow brethren. As such, we grow in faith to be ambassadors of Christ and lights to this world. Let's be strong in faith and fulfill the will and purpose of the Father for his church.